You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And it's important to understand what you should do to protect your privacy. We've been talking a lot about WikiLeaks. There's been conversations about the CIA. There have been some interesting pieces of information released from the White House in the form of tweets and perhaps press conferences about whether or not a microwave is listening in on what you do. I'm not really sure about that one. I don't know where that comes from or what that even refers to, but perhaps our friend David Cox can help us out. He is the co-founder and CEO of Liquid VPN Inc. And he's here to help us about the CIA hacking revelation. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself, Patty?
I'm very well. I don't even know where to begin on this. What do you want to tell our listeners about the CIA and the hacking?
Well, okay, to be perfectly honest with you, the CIA, the revelations are, they're eye-opening, but in the security industry, they weren't nearly as bad as what we thought they would have been. You know, when the NSA hacks came out with Edward Snowden, it was like, you know, they're spying on everybody. It was really bad.
Right.
The CIA hacks are more aimed at spying on individuals. And they're not necessarily, they're not necessarily spying on us. They're spying on, quote unquote, the bad guy. Now, that could change. Mm-hmm. But from what we've seen so far, it's kind of, you know, a specific target. There's been a couple things that were a little bit concerning. There's a few things that are a little bit concerning with these hacks. You know, the fact that they are taking vulnerabilities through, like, software and services that we use and paying the companies to not fix them. And then they can use them for spying. That's pretty concerning because that...
Does that mean when a company finds there's a vulnerability, you know, there's a breach somewhere, they're asking them not to fix it so that they can leave that door open for the CIA?
That's correct.
Okay.
There was a spreadsheet in the WikiLeaks document that has all these different, you know, these different companies that were kind of allowing these vulnerabilities to exist.
Wow. Do we think the CIA, I mean, we talk about how much information we share online. Presumably the CIA has a stockpile of that.
They could. And when you look at it really again, when you're talking about stockpiling information, you're really looking more at the NSA. The NSA does the big dragnet stuff. The CIA does a little bit more targeted stuff. It's more like how the FBI would do it. Although that's not to say if they want something from you or if they are trying to target you for something, yes, you cannot hide from them. Obviously they can turn your TV on and listen to you.
Right. Well, yeah, and that's what people have been talking about in the last couple of weeks as far as things like the Samsung televisions and whether or not they're listening to you. Should people take precautions? What can they do to protect themselves and their privacy?
Well, the Samsung, you know, with the Samsung leak, that kind of stuff has been pretty well documented within the security community for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
I would say don't buy a smart TV with a microphone don't plug it in.
You mean don't plug in the microphone?
Don't plug it into the internet.
Okay.
I mean, there's not a lot you can do. That's the real crappy part of all this. Something that I did find really concerning when I was going through it is, you know, they've got this whole division that's researching, how to control these new vehicles, you know, because all these new vehicles are like fly-by-wire, which can be controlled, you know, they can take control of them over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I started reading some of that stuff, and it kind of brought back, I don't know if you remember, like back in 2013, there was an investigative journalist, his name was like Michael Hastings. He was investigating the CIA and the NSA, and he died in a car crash that was very, it was very
suspicious.
yeah, there was something weird going on. And he's got all these people that are, you know, they're trying to get to the bottom of it. Right. And then when you see a leak like this and you see that they can actually do targeted assassinations using a vehicle, it kind of makes, you know, you always have to ask that, what if? And that's what's really scary. That kind of stuff is like, you know, that's next level stuff. You really got to be careful with that.
And what is your company? What is VPN?
Okay, so a VPN is for internet privacy. It protects your privacy from like Wi-Fi eavesdropping. If you're on a guest network and maybe there's someone inside of that network that wants to filter out your traffic, it's fairly easy to do. But when you use a VPN, it encrypts all of your traffic, so they can't. So you know they can get the traffic, but they can't decrypt it. They can't see what it is.
Okay. So so people do need to be aware of what information they're sharing, and you know take precautions in order to make sure that it's not all just freely available.
I would say like. Realistically, if you don't know, if you're not like at home or you're not at work, if you're just on a, you know, like on a Wi-Fi hotspot, you probably shouldn't even connect to it. And as for what you're sharing, you know, everything that you share is out there forever, and it's always going to be out there, and someone's always going to be able to find it. You really need to think twice about writing anything, sharing anything, because you never know who's going to look it up and hold it against you at some point, whether it be the CIA or your boss or, you know, I mean, it's getting to the point now where everything we do is online and, you know, our whole lives are online and it's, you're like an open book.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing when you are like, let's say you're at a coffee shop and you think, well, I just want to log on. I'm going to Google, I'm going to do some shopping or I need to do some research for something I'm writing. You're really taking a chance. Can you use, what if you have like a Wi-Fi on your phone, like a hotspot phone? Is that?
Yes, you can. That would be considered a safe Wi-Fi. Uh-huh. You just have to make sure that you're connecting to the right one. A lot of times when they go fishing at like coffee shops and stuff, they have like these little they're like called war dialers. And what they do is they project this Wi-Fi hotspot that's kind of fake. So they'll name it like basically something that's very common and then hope that people connect to them accidentally. And then what they do is it's called the man in the middle attack. So what they do is when you connect to that, all of your traffic is going through their hotspot and they use like a packet analyzer and just basically can just take anything that's not encrypted.
And what have you found? I mean, like some of the people who come to you, are the majority of them, do you have sort of equal parts people who want to be preventative and people who have experienced, you know, some sort of breach of their privacy and security?
Yeah, when I first started, it was kind of more, it's kind of more people that were, you know, they had something happen to them. Mm-hmm. And then after the Snowden documents came out and then all these kind of leaks have been happening and then, you know, the war on investigative journalism, people have been really scared. So we get journalists that are signing up. We have political dissidents that sign up. And then we just also have people that want to maybe want to download a movie or something. And they don't want to get caught. So it runs the gamut.
When you say that people who are like journalists and people who are political dissidents, so you're seeing an uptick in that in the last few months, I'm guessing?
No. This has been for the past couple of years. I mean, the political climate right now is crazy. Ever since the election, we've seen like a 75% jump in signups. And I think that's just because of, you know, people being a little bit unsure of what's going on. But it's really a... it's a wider issue. It's been going on for quite some time. Recently, and that was another thing in this document. They kind of said that they had found these back doors from, like, I don't know if you've ever heard of Signal, but that's kind of a good encryption app that a lot of your investigative journalists use when they're communicating because it's end-to-end encryption. And if anyone's listening in, you know, they can't get that. But, you know, there's ways to get around it. So, you know, this has been going on for a while. This war on encryption has been going on for like 20, 25 years.
Wow.
It's just now that it's coming to light because it's, you know, I mean, as the internet becomes and takes over more and more, you know, aspects of our lives, these leagues can't help, you know, they're just going to happen because there's just so many tools that they have to build. And it's kind of funny, the CIA in particular, I really got a kick out of this. You know, a lot of these tools that they build, okay, because they have to put them on someone else's computer, mm-hmm. They can't put them on the other person's computer or the other person's device if they're classified. So they have to unclassify these tools to put them on the target's computer to compromise the computer.
Okay.
I thought that was amazing. I'm like, wow. So somewhere, there's a repository of all these tools. Obviously, now it's on WikiLeaks, but I'm sure there's quite a bit more. That all this unclassified information that they've had to unclassify so they can use it on people.
Wow. That's remarkable. And what should people do? I mean, they can hire someone like you to make sure that their information is protected. Where should people go to find out more information about the work that you do and your peers?
You know, they really have, you know, I would say if you are using the internet and you are using, you know, a lot of your devices, you know, like me, I'm on my phone, on the internet, laptops, I would say limit the amount of software that you use. You know, be very careful on the websites that you go to. Be very careful about anything that you buy that has a microphone or a camera. And if they do have a microphone or a camera, find out, do some research on it and make sure that there's a way to turn it off. I know some of the new devices have physical kill switches that will actually cut the power off to the camera and the microphone. If you press a button, and that's kind of nice to have. If you're going on guest networks, if you're surfing from friends' houses or you're surfing from the library, I would say look into getting a VPN and make sure you make sure that it's a decent one that has good encryption, because some of them are out there, they don't offer encryption, and it's not based by any, which is terrible. But it, you know, everyone's out to make, you know, everyone's jumping on board. So you really have to be careful. You have to be careful on what you install and, again, what you put on there. Even if you have all the privacy protection in the world, all the encryption, all the antivirus, all that stuff,
right?
You still should not put anything on the internet that you don't want your mom to see.
No, I think that's a good rule of thumb. Well, thank you so much. And where can people find out more information about you?
They can go to www.liquidvpn.com, or they can hit me up at Twitter at DavidCox79
It's DaveCox79, is that right?
Yep.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Dave. We appreciate your time. Again, we've been talking to David Cox. He's the co-founder and CEO of Liquid VPN, Inc., and we look forward to talking to you again, sir.